Romans chapter number 5. I appreciate this old book. Amen. Brother Hicks was talking about this King James Bible. You know, you can look back in history and through history, and there's never been a revival generated out of them other perversions of the Bible. Amen. When God uses His Word to stir the hearts of people and revive people and change people's lives. Amen. And I'm thankful that His Word will get the job done. Romans chapter 5, if you're there and if you're able, go ahead and stand this morning. And we're going to read the Word of God and honor this book because it's an honorable book this morning. Amen. Bible says, we're going to read a few verses, chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray today. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to be in the house of God this morning. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that You'd touch every heart that's in this building, Lord, every mind. Lord, I pray You would captivate our minds and our attention this morning, God, as the Word of God goes out. And I pray the Word of God would do a work in us, Lord, that it not just stir us up, God, but it would change us for Your honor and Your glory. I pray today, God, if there's one in our midst that's never been saved, Lord, today would be the day that they'd get born again by the Spirit of God this morning. Lord, I just pray You'd have Your way, touch the children of God in this building today. And I pray, God, You'd encourage us, and Lord, You'd challenge us, Lord, and You'd just help us to be all that You'd have us to be. We sure love You. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this morning. I want to take a few of these verses this morning and preach to your heart this morning on this thought, our reason to rejoice. Our reason to rejoice. Now, when it comes to being saved and having eternal life and having a place in heaven, we should be more than ready to rejoice because we're saved. Amen. There was a time when the disciples had went out and they come back and they were talking to Jesus, and they were so excited because they were being able to touch sick people and heal them, and they were so excited because they were being able to do all of these things and even cast out demons, and they came back excited, and they were talking to Christ and said, even the spirits are subject unto us. Christ looked at them and he said, rejoice not, because the spirits are subject unto you. He said, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. See, what Christ was trying to tell those disciples that day is, yeah, they could probably rejoice about what was taking place, but there's nothing in this world that's greater for you and I to rejoice in other than the fact today that our names are written in heaven. The fact that if you're saved here today, hey, you've got something to rejoice about this morning. You've got something, hey, to maybe lift your hands and just wave at the Lord. It's okay, hey, to do that, and it's okay to say amen, and hey, hallelujah is still a good word, amen, and God likes to hear us rejoice in the fact that we're saved here today. Amen. Hey, when I was lost and undone, hey, I was a loud, wicked sinner. Amen. And now that I'm saved, hey, I want to be a loud saved saint today. Amen. I don't want to be ashamed to lift my voice to the Lord and let Him know that I'm thankful and I'm grateful. Hey, for Him reaching down and saving me one day. Hey, and giving me eternal life. I'm thankful for that, and I want to rejoice because I'm saved this morning. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I go to some places, and I've been to some places, and I think some people wouldn't rejoice if the Lord sat down right beside them. Amen. But I'm going to rejoice, and I like to be around rejoicing people. Amen. And see, all of the people in the world, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we've got more reasons to rejoice than anybody in this world. In the book of Romans, we read chapter 5, it deals with our justification as a Christian. And I like that word, justified, justification. It just simply means justice. That if I'd never sinned, and when God sees me, He don't see my past. Praise the Lord, He don't see my sin and my wickedness. When He looks at me, all He sees is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, that washed all of that sin away. I'm talking about it didn't cover it, and it's still there, but He washed it away. And the Bible said, hey, that it's as far as the east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions from you and I today. Hey, it's nowhere to be found this morning. When God looks at you and you're saved, all He sees is that perfect, precious, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. And hey, it's washed your sins away. Amen. Hey, I'm glad I'm justified this morning. Amen. And we can rejoice because we're justified today. Praise the Lord. Justification can be defined as just as if I'd never sinned. See, it's important for you and I to have a reason to rejoice. I believe today the reason a lot of people sit in church houses can't rejoice is because they ain't got nothing to rejoice about. Amen. And it's good that people that are not saved come to church. Because that's a good place for them to get saved. Amen. That's why it's important for those of us that are saved to rejoice. Because, hey, I'll be honest with you. Hey, there's nothing that discourages people more than people that are not willing to rejoice over what God has done for them. Amen. I can remember back, and I remember when I got saved and I got in church, and I'd look around and I'd see people rejoicing. I'd see people excited about God and crying about the things of God. And I'm like, man, that's what I want in my life. I want to be real, and I want people to know what I got is real, and I got a real God, and I got a real Savior, hey, that changed me in a real way. And I just want to rejoice over that this morning. We've got some things to rejoice about this morning. See, we've received a multitude of benefits when we got saved by the grace of God. Look at there, chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 2, when we got saved, that we received access to God like we've never had before. That access is by faith. Where is it? Into His grace. And we can stand before God today because of what Christ has done for you and I. And the Bible says that we can stand before Him and rejoice today, not because of what we are, but because of who He is and what He's done. We can rejoice before the Lord today because of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sometimes will. And a lot of people say, well, preacher, that's just not my... I mean, just not my emotional makeup to be loud like that. But you check them out at one of them grandkids' ball games.
That's right.
That grandkid get up there and hit a home run. And that person that's never emotional and never gets excited, hey, you'll see them jumping up and hooping and hollering and clapping them hands and cheering. Hey, and ain't nothing wrong with that. I do that. My grandkids do something, I cheer them on. Amen. Hey, I'm vocal with it, but I don't want to be more vocal with my grandkids than I am with the Lord, because my grandkids can't save me, but the Lord saved me and He gave me a home in heaven. And oh, I just want to rejoice over that a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to rejoice about Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. to rejoice. But all those benefits, and we could sit here and we could just name, you could probably name benefit after benefit after benefit that the Lord's done for you since He saved your soul. And we'd be here all day doing that. But I just want to give you a few things this morning, a few reasons why we should be able to rejoice in the Lord. I like that song we sang as well, "That Fountain Filled with Blood."
Yes, amen.
Amen. I go around and I sing that song a lot. I'm like Brother Hicks, if you want me to sing, most people leave. Amen. But I'm the best singer in the world when I'm singing by myself. Amen. And I like that song, "There Is a Fountain." But you know why our number one reason that we can rejoice today is because of Jesus' blood.
Amen.
You know what? Jesus could have died on that cross and never shed His blood and we wouldn't be saved. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to save us, to wash us, to be our sacrifice. Because of His blood, we should be able to rejoice this morning. And a lot of people, they say that old cross is repulsive, and that old cross is, it just offends me, and I just can't stand the thoughts of that cross and that bloody cross. Hey, I remember reading about Jesus Christ, and everywhere that He went and everywhere that He preached, hey, there were some people that just got offended. Amen. There were some people that just got mad. There were some people that just got upset. Hey, the gospel of Jesus Christ is an offensive message. Amen. If it had not offended me, I'd have never got saved by the grace of God. Hey, it convicted me and showed me that I was lost and undone. Hey, the message of Jesus Christ is offensive this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ that He had to shed on that old rugged cross, hey, it is offensive to people this morning. Hey, and we should tell them about Jesus, and we should rejoice today because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 and 5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Realize today, if you got anything to rejoice about this morning, it's because Jesus Christ has washed you in His own blood and washed your sins away. And all that is reason today that we can rejoice this morning. Praise the Lord. Rejoice because of Jesus' blood. See what happened when He washed me in His blood? So He changed my standing. He changed my standing as a human being. You say, how so? John 1:12, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, I'm not one of these that believe that everybody is a child of God. I don't believe that everybody in this world is a child of God. I don't believe everybody that's born in this world, hey, is a child of God. Hey, the only way that you become a child of God is to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and then you become the child of God. And I'm glad that, hey, when He washes you, He'll change your standing, and you'll not be like you used to be. Praise the Lord. You think about this. You think about that He changed you when you were a blind sinner. Amen. You couldn't see your way even if you'd wanted to. And you know what? You were so blind you couldn't even see the Lord until He removed those scales off your eyes and let Him see Him. You remember that story over in the book of Isaiah where Isaiah went to the temple? The Bible said this, Isaiah is right there in chapter number 6. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died," what happened? He said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." You realize Isaiah never saw the Lord until the king had died. Isaiah never saw the Lord until, hey, that obstruction got out of his way that kept him from seeing the Lord. Hey, there was an obstruction in his life that hindered him from seeing the Lord. Hey, but when that old king got out of the way, when God moved that obstruction out of Isaiah's way, the Bible said, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." He said, "I said, the glory of His train filled the temple." And he said, "And I looked and said, oh, woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips." Isaiah saw the Lord for who he was. And old Isaiah saw himself as what he was. And Isaiah at that time in his life realized that what he needed was the Lord. What he needed. Hey, he saw the Lord. The Lord changed his standing when he was a blind sinner. Aren't you glad? Hey, that when you was a sinner one day and the Holy Ghost convicted you and showed you that you were guilty of being a sinner and you bowed somewhere and you called on the name of the Lord, hey, and asked Him to save you, that He changed your life and you became a beloved son of God for the first time when you received Him by faith. See, we got something to rejoice about this morning. We've got something to rejoice about because Jesus' blood has changed my standing. And all that, Jesus' blood has changed my state. Amen. You realize because He's changed my standing and made me a child of God, I'm a son. There's nothing I'll ever do that'll cause me to cease to be a son. Nothing. You say, but what about this, preacher? Nothing. There's nothing under God's heaven that you could name today that would cause you to cease to be a child of God if you're saved here today. I have people approach me all the time and somebody they know has committed suicide, and that the age-old question is, preacher, if somebody commits suicide and they're saved, are they still saved? If they were saved before they committed suicide, they're in heaven. Amen. There's nothing you'll ever do that'll cause God to take His salvation away from you. Now, He may take you out of this world a little quicker than what you would have had planned on it, but He'll never take your salvation away from you. Aren't you glad of that? Ain't that something to rejoice about? Hey, I'm not talking about just being able to live any which way we want to. I'm talking about a God, hey, that's not an Indian giver. Amen. When He gives it to you, it's yours. And it's yours, and you can rejoice over it. But He changed my standing, then He changed my state. My state is sometimes, as we dealt with a little bit in Sunday school, sometimes my state gets a little cloudy before the Lord. Sometimes my state may be that of broken fellowship with the Lord. And how do we remedy that? How do we take care of that? The Bible says, hey, when God saved me, when He washed me in the blood, because of Jesus' blood, He changed my standing. But see, even after I get saved, it's because of Jesus' blood that He changes my state. Because the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. I'm glad, hey, that there's a daily cleansing that we can have as a child of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm glad that I ain't got to go out to the pasture and gather up one of my wife's goats and take it down to the church house, hey, and cut its throat and pour that blood into a basin and burn that goat on the altar of sacrifice. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus offered the payment for my sins once and for all on that sacrifice called Calvary. And hey, it'll never have to be done again. But because of that, when I do break fellowship with Him, when I do sin, when you do sin, we can go back to that same blood that Jesus shed. And we can get forgiveness based on the sacrifice that He made on that cross for our sins. Amen? Sure. Even if it's willful sin, we can still get forgiveness. Amen? And hey, I'm telling you, if that's not something we can rejoice about, hey, if we're not going to rejoice over that, hey, we just ain't going to rejoice. Hey, we just ain't going to be excited. We just ain't going to be stirred up. But I'm glad that He changed my state. There's a daily cleansing that takes place. And when that daily cleansing takes place, there's a delightful companionship that I have between me and the Lord. There's nothing like knowing that you're a son that's being pleasing unto the Father. There's nothing like a child knowing that they're pleasing unto their parents. There's nothing like knowing,
Hey, that everything is right, knowing that, hey, I've done nothing wrong, and hey, there's no sin in my life, and hey, everything is good between me and God, and oh, how delightful it is to walk with the Lord, knowing that things are right. But boy, when things are not right, you're kind of looking over your shoulder. Hey, but it's delightful. Hey, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because of that daily cleansing, because of that delightful companionship. Why? Because He changed my state. He changed, that blood changes my state. It changes my standing. And it should cause your heart to sing because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We can't rejoice over my singing, we can rejoice over the blood. Amen. The only thing that's going to wash your sin away today is the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, you can rejoice today. It should cause your heart to sing. I like Psalm chapter number 40. Hey, I appreciate David writing Psalms chapter number 40. Amen. I like that verse number 3. The Bible said, "And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God, unto our God, and many shall see it and fear it and shall trust the Lord." I'm glad that God, when He saves us, hey, the Bible said that David said, "I cried unto the Lord and He had inclined unto me, and He heard my call and He pulled me up also out of a horrible pit, and He established my goal and He set my foot upon a rock. And He put a new song in my mouth." Hey, I used to sing those old songs and those wicked songs and those vile songs. But when I got saved by the grace of God, hey, He changed my language. He changed my talk. Hey, He gave me a song to praise Him with this morning. Amen. He wants us to rejoice in that song. Amen. A song of praise, a song of permanence. I'm glad He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. No matter what happens in your life, no matter how far you walk away from the Lord, He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Never. There'll never be a time after you're saved that God will forsake you.
What a promise.
That's something to rejoice about right there. Amen. Hey, the blood. And it's all of that's made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, there's something to rejoice about because He'll never leave us. But He said that He would never cease to love you and I after we're saved. He'll always love you. Matter of fact, there's nothing that you'll ever do that'll cause Him not to love you. Just let that settle down in your heart this morning. And it'll make your life a lot easier. You ain't got to work for Him to love you. You ain't got to be the best child that He's got for Him to love you. He loves you because He saved you. And He's got invested interest in you today. And He will always, always love you. Amen. Hey, you can't beat a deal like that. Amen. You can't beat a deal like that. Aren't you glad that He loves you today?
Amen.
We see also another reason that we can rejoice is because the promises of the Bible. See, I'm glad this book don't change. You say, how you know this Bible don't change? This Bible don't change because our God don't change. The Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that God is incapable of changing. We should be able to rejoice because God is incapable of changing. You know what? I change. My wife will tell you I probably change with the direction of the wind. And we, all of us in here, we change maybe the way we think about things. We change the way, maybe the way that we act about things. We change on a lot of different avenues in our life. But you can mark it down that God will, has never, nor will He ever change. You know what? A lot of times people say this. How many times you hear people say, well, that's in that, that's in the old Bible. You ever heard that? That's in the old Bible. That was good back in Jesus' day. You know what I found out? If it was good in Jesus' day, it's good in our day. Amen. And what Christ and what God wrote is sin in the Old Testament, still sin in the New Testament. Amen. Just because we're living under grace don't mean that, hey, the things have changed. They hadn't changed. Sin hadn't changed. Hey, the payment for sin hadn't changed. The reason that there was a sacrifice made was because adultery in the beginning was like adultery in 2017. They hadn't changed. God's view of sin will not change. And the reason God's view of sin will never change is because God is holy, God is just, and God is righteous. And God cannot look upon sin in any form or any fashion. He cannot look on sin. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. Amen. Why do I need to rejoice? How about rejoicing because of the blood? That's a good reason. How about rejoicing because of the promises in the Bible? It's been said that, and I've never counted them, but a lot of people say there's over 3,300 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of them. That's a lot of them. Did you know one promise that's not in the Bible? The promise of tomorrow. There's nobody in this building that's guaranteed, that's promised that they'll see tomorrow. But out of all the promises in the Bible, tomorrow's not one of them. So you know what? It's hard for us to... David said it like this. He said, it's hard for me to rejoice in the grave. It's hard for me to rejoice if I'm not here. So I think I'm just going to rejoice while I'm here. I'm just going to rejoice right now because I'm not guaranteed I'll have an opportunity tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed I'll even have an opportunity later on today to rejoice. So I think I'll just rejoice because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I think I'll just rejoice because of the promises in the Bible. The Bible says, 2 Peter in chapter number 1 and verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, Peter didn't say just those promises. He said those promises were exceeding precious. He said those promises, Brother Hicks, was greater than any precious promise that you could ever grasp a hold of. They exceeded any amount of preciousness that you could ever imagine, the promises that God has given to you and I. See, how is it that, and we read here in the Bible today in verse number 3, the Bible says there in verse number 3, look at that with me this morning. It says, but we glory in tribulation. How is it that you and I are able to glory in tribulation? How is it that God expects us to rejoice in tribulation? How is it that God says, hey, rejoice? Over there in the book of James, rejoice when all manner of temptation come upon you. He said, rejoice. How is it that God expects us to rejoice in those times? We'll have to go back to the first part of chapter 5 there. Why does God expect that out of you and I? Because we've been justified by faith. Because we have peace with God. Because all of that happened in our life when Jesus Christ saved us. Therefore, when trouble comes, we're not rejoicing over the trouble. We're just rejoicing in Jesus Christ. See, if I only rejoice in Christ when things are good, I may not be rejoicing much. Because things may not be good all the time. But the Bible says, the Bible teaches us that we can rejoice in tribulation. Why? Because we have faith in Jesus Christ. And He's given us a peace of God that will pass all understanding. How can a person rejoice when a loved one's laying at the funeral home and no longer alive? You can't rejoice in death, but you can rejoice in Christ. You know why a lot of people can't rejoice at a funeral? It's because either they're not saved or the person that's passed is not saved. But even in tribulation, the Bible says that we can rejoice. We're not rejoicing in the tribulation. We're not rejoicing in the trial. We're rejoicing in Jesus Christ and whatever He allows in our life. He's put there for a reason, to help build us and to make us better than what we were. But you know what tribulation will do to you, or trials or testing? You know what that stuff will do to you? It'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better. It's how you choose to handle it. If you choose not to rejoice while that's taking place, most cases it's going to make us bitter. And bitterness, the Bible says, is the only one of the only sins in the Bible that has a root. And boy, that root of bitterness can get you. And it'll cause you not to rejoice over anything. Because it will consume you. It will cause you to become a casualty in the things of God. Because it takes over your life. You know what kudzu is, don't you? Y'all know what kudzu is. And how that kudzu, just a little bit, can start. And I've seen kudzu pull down trees. I've seen kudzu pull down buildings. I'm talking about just a little old thing that grows out of the ground. And you know the only way you can kill kudzu? You know how you can tell when the frost has come? You can see kudzu and you can see how the leaves are wilted. And it looks like that stuff's dead. And hey, there ain't nothing better than looking out wintertime and seeing a bunch of dead kudzu. Amen? That stuff is a nuisance, and to people that have to deal with it, it's annoying. And there's nothing better than that. But you know what? When springtime rolls around, those leaves green up, and that stuff starts growing again. You know the only way to kill kudzu is you got to dig it out by the root, and you got to get it out of there. See, that's the same way it is with the bitterness. We allow things that God allows in our life to make us bitter, it'll cause a root to build up in our life. And I mean, it'll consume us. And that root will grow and it'll go everywhere inside of us and it'll entangle us. And we won't be able to rejoice over nothing. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, if we ever get that root of bitterness out of our heart, we'll get back to rejoicing. We'll rejoice when things are good and we're going to rejoice when things are bad. And we're going to make up our mind, hey, I'm just going to rejoice. Why am I going to rejoice? Hey, I'm going to rejoice because of the blood of Jesus. I'm going to rejoice because of the promises that God made to me. And He said, no matter what I go through in this life, He's with me. No matter what happens in my life, it happens Because that's what He wants to happen for me. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is still in the Bible. And it says, no, you're not. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. And anything, you know what God's, after God saves you, He wants to get glory to His name through your life. And if He can put some tribulation in your life and you can rejoice through that tribulation, you know what? God gets glory for that. And whatever He can do to get glory through your life, He will do it. See, that's how we're able to rejoice in those temptations. How can I rejoice? Because His promises give me comfort. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have you ever been offended? If you're breathing, you've probably been offended. Amen. I've been offended. And see, it's real easy to get offended. But you know the easiest way not to get offended? Is just to love God's Word. The Bible says that we'll have great peace if we love His Word. I'm talking about, and nothing will offend us. See, God's promises give us comfort in time of suffering. God's promises give us comfort in time of sorrow. And you can rejoice while you're suffering. And you can rejoice during a time of great sorrow. Not rejoicing in the suffering. Not even rejoicing in the sorrow. But you're just rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Because you know what? A lot of times we don't realize how many people watch our lives through suffering and sorrow that comes in our life. And boy, if we shake our fist to God and let people know that we're angry with God and we're upset with God, they're like, what kind of Christian are they? But if we can lift our hands to God and said, like old Job did, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
So I'm just going to rejoice in Him. Anyway. See, His promises give comfort. That's how we're able to rejoice. His promises give courage. That's how we're able to rejoice. Psalms 119 verse 8, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I may not be ashamed. See, God's promises give us courage to preach the Word. God's promises give us courage to point out the wrong. See, it's not easy for a man of God to stand up and preach on the hard things in the Word of God. It's not easy for the man of God to stand up and preach on controversial subjects that God would have him to preach on. It's not easy for a Sunday school teacher or a Wednesday night teacher or whatever to stand up and teach things that are not comfortable in the Bible. But the Bible teaches us to teach and preach the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
And see, that's our responsibility, and that's our job, is not to browbeat you with the Word of God, but to teach and preach the Word of God in a way that it helps build you up and edify you and encourage you and make you a stronger Christian, not beat you down. And see, God's Word will give us, God's promises will give us the courage to do that. God's promises build character. Psalms 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Would to God we'd allow the promises of God become so real to us that we'd hate what God hates. And we love what God loves. So many times we find ourselves hating the sinner and not the sin. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard for us to distinguish or separate the sinner from the sin. But you know what? Jesus Christ loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And you know what? God wants us to be the same way. He wants us to love that sinner, but he wants us to hate that sin. And see, if we'll do that, well, God will help us. There'll be some rejoicing come along in your life. If you love what God loves and you hate what God hates, rejoicing will come in your life.
Amen.
The psalmist said it like this: joy may, or weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. We've got something to rejoice about. If you're saved here tonight, this morning, you've got something to rejoice about. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got something to rejoice about. If your sins have been washed away, you've got something to rejoice about. Hey, if God has saved your family, you've got something to rejoice about. Hey, if God has changed your life, you've got something to rejoice about. Hey, a lot of times we take for granted the very things that should make us rejoice. We take those things for granted. We come to church and we look around and the church is not full, and well, we'll let that discourage us. Hey, no, we need to rejoice for those that we got. Amen. We need to rejoice for the ones that we got. Amen. Sometimes if we're not careful, a lot of our preaching, a lot of our praying, a lot of our teaching will be for those that ain't even here. Amen. We need to rejoice. Rejoice. And see, as we ask God to help us and ask God to reveal and ask God to show us, God, what can I rejoice about this morning? What have I rejoiced about in the past week? Have I rejoiced at all? How many times do you... I can remember asking certain people, see them at church, say, well, how you doing, brother? Mm-hmm. They said, you got about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you. And you know, usually when you come up on something like that, it's not rejoicing. It's complaining. Mm-hmm. And I've come up with this when people, I ask people how to do it, and they say, oh, I can't complain. I said, that's good. I ain't taking them a day anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't like taking complaints, amen?
Yeah, you're right.
And there's this old preacher, I remember every time he'd come up and he'd speak to you. He'd shake your hand. He'd say, brother, tell me how the Lord's been good to you today. Amen.
Good.
And see, if we would think along those lines and have that mentality, a lot of our griping and complaining would turn into rejoicing and praising the Lord. Because why? Because we're just seeing how good God's been to us.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in here that God hadn't been good to? Didn't think so. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not saved here today, God's been good to you.
Right.
You say, how so? Because you ain't in hell.
Right.
And there's still breath in your body.
Amen.
And God's still imparting grace to you to be saved today.
Amen.
So there ain't nobody in the house can say, hey, God ain't been good to me. If you're here today, God's been good to you. Amen. And hey, we've got something to rejoice about. If you're saved, the Bible says you can rejoice because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How about it? You got something to rejoice about today? Yeah, we all do. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the good liberty to preach this morning. Thank you for these that sat and listened so patiently this morning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for there's one in this room today that's never bowed their head and called on Jesus and asked Him to save them, that they today would get saved before it's everlasting too late. That they can rejoice as they leave this place more than they could when they got here. And I pray, Lord, if there's those here that's saved and no doubt they're going to heaven, and maybe they just haven't been rejoicing in you like they should, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd just speak to their hearts. You'd help them. You'd do something for them. Just draw them to this altar and let them just get some things, some priorities straight with you this morning. Father, so that they could rejoice and have a reason to rejoice because they're saved this morning. Lord, whatever you want to do in this invitation, Lord, we just pray that you'd do it according to thy will. And I pray the Spirit of God will do the work in the hearts that need to be done and draw them and help them and teach them what they need today. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for all that you do. We sure love you. In Jesus' name, amen.